This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I'm going to start with the children and then move on to the adults. Is that cool?
Yes.
You all agree with that? You think the adults have something to learn too? I know I do. Yes. So I brought this. Does anybody know what this is? You know what? It's kind of a makeup mirror, yeah.
I can't see.
Does anybody out there, any adults out there, if you would like to turn your phones on and take a look at a selfie, look at yourself in the selfie thing, that way you didn't have to bring a mirror. Look, none of them are pulling them out. Do you think they don't know how to use a phone? Oh, you all got told. So, okay, the reason why I pull out a mirror is, how many of you think you really know yourself? Really? A bunch? Well, good, because I'm old, and so what I would tell you is, it takes your lifetime to know yourself. Do you think you know other people exactly? No, and you know what? Moses finds out, he thinks he's kind of like a real jerk because he murdered somebody. Yes, Moses murdered somebody. Can you believe that? Did you all know that? He pushed an Egyptian off who was up on the pyramids. He pushed him off and he died because he was so angry at how the Egyptians were treating the Hebrews. He was so angry and he couldn't control his anger and he pushed him off. But then, today we learn, God went to him. What's that about? How can God go to somebody who's a murderer? Because Moses had faith in God. Let's have a round of applause for that. The people in the Bible aren't always good, but they're always faithful, the ones that remain it. It's really important. That was excellent. So the reason why I have a mirror here for you, look how handsome and beautiful you all are.
Jeez.
Yes, the mirror can reflect ourselves, but what I would tell you is nobody knows themselves completely, but you know who knows you completely? God. God knows you completely. And the more, I'm not even sure your parents know you completely. No, because sometimes you might surprise. How many times, parents, have you been surprised by your kids? I have been. See that? So they don't. And so my point today, though, and this is the only thing I really want you to remember before I get talking to the adults, is that God knows you better than anybody else. And the only way that you can get to know each other better, yourself better and better, is to know God. And we don't always know everything about God, but we can know that God is about love. And there was a friend of mine, Presiding Bishop Michael Curry, who said, if it's not about love, say that again.
Not about God.
If it's not about love, it's not about God. Right. So it's really important that you think about wanting God to get to know you better. Well, God knows you already, but you get to know yourself better through God. Does that make sense? So go look in the mirror, and I want you to say to yourself, I am beautiful, I am good, I am faithful, and I'm going to follow God. Do you all think you're going to follow God? Is that good? All right, what do you think, everybody? Were they good?
Yeah.
All right, excellent. Let me have some fist bumps here as you go back and sit with your parents. Now let's see if Mother Mary Ellen can get up.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay, so we have today the history of Israel. No, I wasn't going to preach about a fig tree. Sorry. Some of the Gospels are a little much for me, so I'll come back to that another year. But I wanted to talk about Moses today. And one of the things that really strikes me about Moses hits me when I read from Four Quartets by T.S. Eliot, Little Giddings. Eliot says, "We shall not cease from exploration. And at the end of all of our exploring, we will be able to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time." You know, my husband and I are Bible nerds, and we've been watching this show, Patterns of Evidence, and what they're doing. These archaeologists are trying to go back and figure out which pharaoh was it. Was it Ramses? Was it Akhenaten? Which kingdom was it? And they argue all the time. That's what scholars do. Good scholars argue all the time. And they're not even sure. People argue. Rabbis argue about this. I've been with rabbis that really argue about this. They're not sure whether Moses wrote the Torah or it was the tribes, JEDP, documentary hypothesis. The one we just watched was pretty clear that Moses did it, but what happened is they were confused because there wasn't an alphabet, they thought. But then they realized they think that Joseph, the ancestor of Moses, had found an alphabet or created an alphabet. Because if you have the difference between a 26-letter alphabet and hieroglyphics, now for anybody in here, have you all seen hieroglyphics before? There's about 1,000 symbols for hieroglyphics. So you can't do anything as compact as the Torah, as Moses did with hieroglyphics. You'd have to have done it with an alphabet. And then they argue over whether it was oral tradition or whatever. But it's fascinating, and I'm not going to get into that because it's so complicated. But I would say how we view Moses is really interesting, how difficult it is to go back that long in time. And you all know that according to the Bible, Pharaoh thought the Hebrews had way too many people. And so he ordered the baby boys to be murdered. And according to Jochebed, that's the mother of Moses, what she did was she put him in a basket, right, and floated him in the Nile, and one of the sisters of the pharaohs was able to raise him, we think. So it reminded me, and Moses' name means pulled out of the water. It reminded me of something. I have a dear friend named Julie Cerise who lives in Miami, and she was a child of Pedro Pan. Does anybody in here besides Ruth Mayhew know what Pedro Pan is? The other church service didn't know. Anyone? Pedro Pan?
Yeah.
Oh, Andy, tell us. Oh, you don't have a mic. But go ahead and speak loudly. So I'm kind of thinking Castro's like Pharaoh. And you're supposed to go, ooh. And so what happened is my friend's mother did not want her to stay in Cuba, so she was taken from her mother and sent to Chicago to a Swedish family that was Catholic and raised by them. And it was very complicated for Julie. And in fact, I said to Ruth, maybe we'll have her come and talk to you about it, because I am always sad that people don't know who Monsignor Brian Walsh is. He was a Catholic priest that led the whole thing and wanted to make sure these children were taken care of. And so it's kind of like the Moses story doesn't quit, does it? People are still difficult. And so I was thinking about a modern day Moses like that. But we know that Moses, probably from his childhood, Sigmund Freud would say, had an anger issue, and he did commit the murder. And he ended up killing the Egyptian and running away to the desert. But then what's amazing is he is found by the priest of Midian's daughter, Jethro, and he ends up getting married to his daughter, Zipporah, and having a family. So we think, okay, now Moses is all set, right? Just when you think you got it all together, what happens? He's just out in the desert, hanging out with the sheep, having a good life with his wonderful wife and children, and then all of a sudden, bam, he encounters the burning bush. And he encounters the great I Am. And notice that when God says to him, okay, guess what? You're going to go and you're going to get release for your people, the Hebrews. I've seen their suffering and I'm going to take them out of their suffering through you. And Moses says, me? What are you, nuts? I can't do this. And God doesn't do what most of us want God to do. Oh, come on, Moses, you can do it. No, what God says is, I will be with you. I will be with you. That's the powerful point. Because let's face it, we don't do things on our own. God does it with us. God is always with us. God is part of us. And even though Moses feels unworthy, God has said, I'm going to give you this enormous task, but I'm going to be with you every single second. And so you might say to yourself, well, how do you know it's from God? And I would go back to what we said before. If it's about God, it's about
us.
Absolutely. So Moses becomes really grounded in God. He becomes anchored in the love and action of God. And he begins to know himself better and better. He begins to know himself. But what I would say is we know ourselves through knowing God. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to quote a medieval hero of mine, Julian of Norwich. She said, it is easier for us to get to know God than to know our own soul. God is nearer to us than our own soul, for God is the ground in which it stands. So if we want to know our own soul, enjoy its fellowship, it's necessary to seek it in our Lord. I mean, let's go back to the Greeks, which everything goes back to just about. What did Socrates say? Know thyself. It was on the oracles of Delphi when you went there. Know thyself. And to thine own self be true, right? From Shakespeare. We have all of these really important things about self-awareness and knowing ourselves. I don't know about you all, but every once in a while, I'll do something and I'd say to myself, where did that come from? Why did I just do that? Anybody else have that happen?
Oh, yeah.
I know. So we really sometimes don't. And then I was reading somebody who really I have great respect for, Eckhart Tolle. He's very popular. And he says, whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you'd chosen it. He also talks about two things which I think are really interesting. He talks about knowing ourselves. And he says, we know ourselves in the past conceptually. Conceptually. We know ourselves conceptually in the past. But we don't know ourselves in the past. We know ourselves in this very moment, right now, in the present. Now, that took me a week to kind of digest, and I hope it takes you that long, too, and longer. Because really, when we look back to the past, do we have the whole picture?
No.
We don't. We don't. And so what he's saying is, the only way you know yourself now is to understand yourself in the present. Okay? What is your presence? How is that? And we all know that when someone's in pain or grief, does it do any good to talk to them, to tell them what to do? You have to be present with them. You have to be present with grief. So he also says this, I needed this probably more than anybody out there. Give up defining yourself, to yourself or to others. You won't die, you'll come to life. And don't be concerned with how others define you. When they define you, they are limiting themselves. It's their problem. Whenever you interact with people, don't be there primarily as a function or a role, but as a field of conscious presence. You can only lose something that you have, but you cannot lose something that you are. And he also goes on to say that time is really an illusion. The more you focus on the past and the future, the more you miss the now. And that's the most precious thing. So realize deeply that the present moment is all you have and make the now your entire primary focus. So as we travel with Jesus in the wilderness of Lent, let's remember Moses as well. Let's remember he's the lawgiver. He's from the tribe of Levi. Jesus quotes Moses a lot. Jesus honors and is devoted to him. He is our ancestor, our theological ancestor, and he made a lot of sacrifices. And from what I've said today, please remember what St. Paul says, that God says, I am working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases me. And so to conclude my sermon today, I would like to read you a poem that I found from Carla Hardy. The Lord be with you. God of the wilderness, you lead me to where I am lost and found again. Today I welcome your spirit and listen for your voice, even in the wild and desperate places of my life. God, I would rather avoid the wilderness seasons in my life, the years marked by guilt, grief, or challenge. But today I ask you to take the dry and desolate parts of me and use them to shape my character, smooth my rough edges, and shape me into someone who follows your heart and your lead. Amen.
Amen. Amen.